Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. My website is www.jbsba.com. That's the short one. That's the acronym. The long one is, if you like to type, is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Or if you just remember my name, jimblasingame.com. Either one of those URLs will get you to the same site where you can subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes out every week on Sunday by email. And it'll get you ready for the week ahead. And I'm looking forward to all the new subscribers that we picked up this week. And thank you for that. And thank you all of you who've been writing the nice notes about how much you like what we send you. And I appreciate that very much. I'm excited about having David Dossie back on the show, as well as Morgan Reed. And these guys spend their life, they make their living tracking and helping people understand and manage intellectual property. And David does it on the private side. He's a patent attorney, also known these days as intellectual property attorney. And he's our good friend for a long time. David Dossie, welcome back to the show.
Morning, Jim.
It's good to have you back, David. And Morgan Reed is with us. He's Vice President of Government Affairs with the Association for Competitive Technologies. Many of you have been hearing me introduce you to folks with ACT for a long time. Morgan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim.
It's good to have you back as well. Say hello to David Dossie.
Hey, David.
Hi, Jim. Or Morgan.
No, I'm Jim. He's Morgan. Okay, guys, I'm really excited about you guys, both of you being here, because my audience knows how much I like talking about intellectual property. And we've talked about digital rights media, digital rights issues over the years. And David, you and I have talked about quite a bit about intellectual property. It's a very important area of the marketplace, especially for the 21st century. We're going to become more and more involved in intellectual property as every tick of the clock goes by. But there is one case that's going on right now that's actually, and I'm not positive that I know where it is right now, but Morgan, you're there in Washington, D.C. Tell us about the Grokster case, and where is it? I know that it's either in front of the Supreme Court or maybe just has left the Supreme Court. Where is it now?
Well, it's in front of the Supreme Court, and they had oral arguments on March 29th. We began the process of listening to both sides of the debate.
Okay, now that pardon me, Morgan. Now that we know where it is, tell us what Grokster is, because a lot of people don't know.
Well, fundamentally, Grokster is a case between a peer-to-peer networking company, Grokster, and MGM. And the question before the court is Grokster responsible for the piracy that is rampant on it? And is it responsible for the piracy that other people are doing on its service?
Tell us what kind of piracy.
These are people stealing songs, software, images, you name it.
The Napster kind of thing, right?
Yes, exactly. It's Napster in the sense that it easily allows people to transmit stolen intellectual property between computers.
Peer-to-peer, this is where if I have a movie and I replicate it and send it to another peer, a friend of mine, and just give it to him, maybe sell it, but probably just give it to him, and this is beyond fair use, isn't it, Morgan?
Oh, yes, far beyond fair use. The real problem, the beauty of digital, is that every copy you make is a perfect copy. So unlike when you made a mixtape for your girlfriend to express your undying love,
right,
this is something where you've got a million friends and every single one gets the perfect mixtape. And that's a problem for those who own and create intellectual property.
Right. So it's before the Supreme Court right now.
That's correct.
All right. And David, have you been tracking this?
Yes. It's a very interesting case, and I think everyone's awaiting the Supreme Court's decision, which should come sometime mid-July.
Right. Now, are you experiencing any? Is this raising any antennas in your client base? Anything that's going on with this case?
Well, frankly, we expected more of an increase in calls about this once the RIAA started suing individual file sharers.
RIAA, who are they?
That's the Recording Institute of America.
Right, okay.
Along those lines.
Right.
And with the peer-to-peer file sharing, there's no question that the direct users, the people sharing the files, there's no question that they're liable for direct infringement. So, you know, 6 or 8 months ago, different organizations have gone out and started suing individuals, and that's when you heard of them suing 12-year-old girls.
Right.
And we expected more of an uproar about that. I think they've sued around 3,000 individuals, but not so much.
Mm-hmm. Well, David, I'd like to say that I'm actually on the side of people that say it's fine that they're suing people.
Morgan, hold on to that thought, and I think David probably would agree with you, but we're going to get back to this right after these messages. We're going to get back to the Supreme Court case now that everybody understands what the Supreme Court is deciding. And we're going to do that right after these messages. It's 22. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. David Dossie is our guest. He's an intellectual property attorney with Gallagher & Dossie Company, LPA, and also Morgan Reed, who's Vice President of Government Affairs for the Association for Competitive Technology in Washington, D.C. David, you're over there in Ohio, aren't you?
Yes, Columbus.
And Morgan's in Washington, D.C. Okay, let's get back to, now that we've sort of got the table set and the issues out on the table, I'd like to come back to Grokster, and Morgan, I want you to talk to us a little bit about the case, the Supreme Court case, and David, you chime in here anytime you want to. Basically, the Grokster is a technology company that's, if I'm not mistaken, Morgan, they've created the technology that allows people to very easily share intellectual property, to share media, basically.
Well, yeah, and I think, Jim, you've used two words that I think are really important, which is that they have, it's ease of use that matters, because the reality is the entire Internet is one giant peer-to-peer network.
Right.
So just suggesting that peer-to-peer, the activity of sending information from one computer to another, should be illegal is wrong. What's happened with Grokster is the question is their business model, is their company basically in the business of selling a product that only facilitates thievery? Mm-hmm. And it's an important point that you raised right before, is that the recording industry and the music and the movie industry has been suing people who steal things. It's an important distinction, because unfortunately for folks that say, oh, well, we've got people that RIAA is suing their customers, the problem is customers are people who buy things. Thieves are people who steal things. So there's an important distinction to be made there, and it's important to understand, as you know, that intellectual property is really valuable to the United States. Mm-hmm. It is our only area.
It's increasingly more valuable every day.
Exactly. It's the only place and the only kind of thing that the United States sells to the world where we have a trade surplus with every nation mm-hmm. in the world. It's America's most valuable asset.
Now, David, the difference between Grokster and Napster, if I understand, is that Napster actually had a server that allowed some of the files that were being ripped off to be stored on the server and to work out of the server. Grokster is not really involved in the peer-to-peer activity. They're just creating the capability. Is that right?
Right. Napster maintained a database of all the files that were traded, whereas Grokster kind of saw the light, and they've developed their software that they never make any copies, and they only learn about the exchange of infringements after it's already occurred.
Mm-hmm. Well, Morgan, the case is before the Supreme Court. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, honestly, I think nobody really knows. The the one decision that I think we probably will see is nobody will end up being happy. And that may be the best solution. Because unfortunately, as much as we'd like to talk about how bad Grokster is individually, what they represent, and that's the contributory infringement, the question of if I facilitate in any way, shape, or form somebody doing a bad thing, if I manufacture the crowbar and somebody uses it to break a door in, does the crowbar manufacturer responsible for the criminal act? And the answer is, in the broadest sense, no. Grokster's a little different than a crowbar manufacturer because it appears their only business is facilitating crime. So when we get to this Grokster case, the technology industry is very concerned about one important element. We want to make sure that the court decides to punish behavior, stealing, not technology, which is peer-to-peer networking. So that's the conundrum that we in the industry are facing, and that's the conundrum the court is facing. And we're hoping that we get something that keeps technology alive and only punishes behavior.
David, will the Betamax precedent help Grokster here? And first tell us what that is, and then tell us if you think that it's going to help Grokster.
Well, back in the early 80s, when Sony came out with the first, essentially, VCR, all the movie studios were in an uproar for potential copyright infringement.
Because people were copying tapes?
Right. Well, the court eventually found that the VCRs were generally used for time shifting. In other words, someone would record their favorite show and then just watch it later. So, sure, it did have the potential for infringing uses, copying movies, etc., but largely they were used for just time shifting, which is a fair use.
Mm-hmm. And Morgan, what do you think?
Well, I think, I mean, he hits the two major points, which is that the copying, or rather the time shifting of movies, which was an open question as to whether or not that was a copyright violation when the case was solved, definitely has given a huge boom to the movie industry. It's created the DVD market. It's created the blockbuster video and our ability to go out and buy and rent and view movies of copyrighted material. The one thing that's important to note on this, especially with DVDs, is we've got to find a way to make sure that people can protect the copyrighted material while still giving it to their customers. And that, you brought it up earlier, Jim, and that's digital rights management.
Mm-hmm.
So at the same time that this case is going on before the Supreme Court, the technology industry is busting a hump to make sure that we can provide technology that allows peer-to-peer networking, for example, to put files out on the web, to make them available to the most people, but that we, the people who create ideas, get paid for them.
Right. Absolutely. And that's the direction I want to head in when we come back after this next break. David, give us your website, please.
It's www.invention-protection.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is the site to show you what an intellectual property website looks like, an intellectual property attorney's website. More and more every day, small business owners need to know an intellectual property attorney more than ever before. Quick break right back after these messages with David Dossie and Morgan Reed. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We'll be right back.
You think big. We think of driving your business. We're Office Depot, and Office Depot is giving you the chance to become the 2005 official small business of NASCAR. You'll win a trip to Darlington Raceway, the rights to use the official small business of NASCAR logo on business cards and stationery, and your company name on the 99 Office Depot Ford. So race in or log on before April 10th and enter to win today. Office Depot. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 years or older. Restrictions may apply. See store for details.
Taking care of business.
Hi, Jim Blassingame here. I want to tell you about the best business planning software on the planet, Business Plan Pro by Palo Alto Software. One of the things that makes Business Plan Pro easy to use is the Plan Wizard. The Plan Wizard literally leads you through setting up your plan. If you can point and click, Business Plan Pro and the Plan Wizard will help you get your business plan on paper and working. Oh yeah. We're back at 7:10. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. A little bit of Robert Cray there for you. That's one mean blues guitar player right there. David Dossie is our guest. He's the intellectual property attorney in our brain trust. He's also, well, in his day job, though, he's with Gallagher and Dossie. Morgan Reed is Vice President of Government Affairs at the Association for Competitive Technology, ACT. And Morgan, give us your website, please.
It is www.actonline.org.
And folks, they're working really hard there at ACT to help people who create intellectual property, as well as those of us who consume it and want to use it fairly and legally. They're really helping to keep the debate honest. And Morgan, on behalf of all of us, and I know David agrees with me, we thank you for what you're doing up there.
No problem. Love to do it.
Okay. I want to get your fairly short answer on what you think the Supreme Court is going to do with the Grokster case.
Well, I both think and I hope that the court will end up kind of splitting the baby, so to speak, and give us a decision that punishes the behavior that Grokster has been doing, but doesn't destroy the ability of technology to come up with new great ideas.
Are you concerned that they will make a ruling that could be detrimental to technology?
I absolutely am.
And what would that look like?
I think that would be a ruling where they basically say that if you make a product and it allows people to infringe, then your product is against the law.
David, that would be a big mistake, wouldn't it?
Right. And I hope that won't happen. I suspect that the Supreme Court will eventually just kick the case back to a lower court to have a full trial on inducement to infringe.
So you think they'll punt?
I think so. And eventually, a holding, I hope, will come out that presents a sliding scale that if your product is predominantly only for infringing uses, then you have to exert an additional level of control over it.
Mm-hmm. Dave, Morgan, how much is the world waiting on this case to see the direction of intellectual property?
I'd say it's if you go to your Google and hit Google News on Grokster MGM, you'll see literally thousands of news stories from all over the world, everywhere from India to China, the United States, Britain, you name it. It's the case that's going to set the precedent for a lot of things, whether it be kickback or whether or not the court make a decision one way or the other.
But we're not hearing a lot of this in mainstream media, are we?
Well, you know, I think that's because the issues are tough to explain in three lines. I mean, even the term contributory infringement, these are terms of art that are very specific to courts and to legal battles, but aren't part of your daily conversation.
David, how is this case going to impact your clients?
Well, if it comes down hard against Grokster, I feel, and I know that the justices of the Supreme Court feel that any real detrimental ruling like that would chill the incentive of inventors to create new products for fear that the product they create has an infringing use and therefore would subject them to liability.
Morgan, these judges, most of them are advanced years. One or two are younger. Thomas and Scalia is not too old, and Souter is not that old. Do you think the majority of the judges are savvy enough about technology? I mean, obviously, they're highly intelligent people, but in terms of the 21st century marketplace, do you think that they get it?
Well, I think what's going to happen is that the clerks get it. And I think you should never underestimate the importance of Supreme Court clerks, the people who toil away in the background to help further the decisions and help explain the issues in a manner in which the court, the various justices, can get them.
Right.
I think that the justices are going to try and actually separate out the technology from the overall case and just talk about what is the responsibility of a company to monitor the use of their product.
Right. David, when do you think this case is going to be heard? When do you think we'll have a ruling?
Well, schedule is set that we should hear something by mid to late July from the Supreme Court.
Okay, so it's going to be that far away.
Yeah, there is one thing which we haven't touched on, and that's the other possibility that the Supreme Court will punt, but will make a recommendation that Congress get involved.
Hmm.
So for your listeners, your representative may end up with the final say as to what happens here.
Right, That's a good point. David, give us your website again one more time, please.
It's www.invention-protection.com.
Folks, I encourage you to check that out and get to know your friendly neighborhood intellectual property attorney. And if you don't have one, David is a good one. Morgan Reed, thank you for being here. Give us your website again, please.
It's www.actonline.org.
Both great organizations, both outstanding individuals. Thank you, David. Thank you, Morgan. We'll see you next time. See you guys.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, a small business advocate, and this program is for you. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.